President Donald Trump will announce his nominee for the Supreme Court this evening, setting up what could be a contentious hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, depending on the choice to fill the vacancy left by the sudden death of Justice Antonin Scalia. Albany Law School professor Vincent Bonventre says abortion remains the litmus test for the nominee, both for the right and the left.
There are always challenges to abortion rights, but they are usually around the edges. You know, we had a case last year from the Texas regulations that made it extremely difficult for women, unless they were in large cities, you know, to be able to obtain an abortion at a facility, you know, a women's health facility. And the United States Supreme Court struck that down. But, you know, I mean, it was a very close decision. And so you're going to get cases like that. You're always going to get cases like that. I mean, until this is finally resolved and the American people, by and large, are happy with where we are with regard to a woman's right to choose.
Off the subject just a little bit, Governor Cuomo yesterday called for a state constitutional amendment to codify Roe v. Wade in New York State in case Roe v. Wade is somehow overturned. Would a state constitutional amendment protect that right in New York should the Supreme Court one day overturn Roe v. Wade?
It would protect it in New York, but it would not protect it from federal laws that might otherwise supersede it. So, for example, it wouldn't protect it from federal legislation that limited funding, right, federal funding for clinics in New York, for hospitals in New York that perform abortions. It wouldn't, for example, save the right to certain kinds of abortion, which perhaps there would be a federal law to actually outlaw as opposed to protect. But by and large, what it would do, it would preserve a woman's right to choose insofar as that right could otherwise be affected by New York legislation. That's really what it would be able to do.
Do you expect the Supreme Court and this new nominee, whoever that is, to take up this travel ban that the president recently ordered against seven Muslim-dominated countries?
It is within the realm of possibility that there would be some kind of an emergency request for the United States Supreme Court to step in and to issue some kind of a temporary order. That's probably not likely. I doubt that that's likely, unless you have a lower court decision, a final lower court decision, which says that the executive order is unconstitutional and orders that it not be enforced. If you get something like that, then you may start to see some emergency appeals and requests for an emergency order coming out from not only the United States Supreme Court, but from the circuit courts.
Have we gone by the point yet where a Supreme Court nominee has to be absolutely perfect in their personal life? For instance, there was one nominee some years ago who admitted smoking marijuana. There was another who...
Douglas Ginsburg, yes.
That's right. And there was another who perhaps had some taxes or some sort of payment dispute regarding housekeeping, domestic help. Does that kind of thing come up anymore?
Sure, that comes up all the time. You know, it came up with Samuel Alito, for example, when the Democrats brought up the fact that he was a member of one of those clubs at Princeton, which apparently had very restrictive admissions and policies with regard to women. So those things will come up. But, you know, by and large, if you have a nominee that is well-qualified, and what I mean by that is well-qualified on paper, with experience and education, you know, these other kinds of issues are really just raised by those who would oppose that nominee anyway. I mean, they're just ways in which perhaps to turn the public against that nominee, you know, much like the Democratic senators did with Robert Bork. I mean, here was somebody who really was exquisitely qualified to be on the United States Supreme Court on paper, right? By his background and by his education. But the Democratic senators were able to bring up aspects of his judicial writings and aspects of his scholarly writings that really turned the public against him, And then, you know, many of the Republican senators caved, and so, you know, he lost the nomination. So, I mean, issues can be raised by the opposition party that wouldn't necessarily go to whether or not the nominee is actually qualified, but might make that nominee less palatable to the public and therefore less palatable to the Senate.
Albany Law School professor Vincent Bonventre.